Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Gunner by Elise Kelly. Narrated by Tyler Darby and Michelle Price. Chapter 1. Gunner. I've been staring indecisively at the rows of cereal boxes lined up in front of me for 20 minutes. Wary glances are thrown my way as soccer moms scurry off with their children and hushed murmurs to the next aisle. Their reactions have more to do with my vast collection of tattoos and my black leather cut than with me looking like some creep in the middle of Smith's grocery store. Either way, I don't give a fuck. I finally settle on my favorite, Lucky Charms, and stretch my hand out to grab it when something slams into the side of my leg. I mutter a curse, glancing down to see a little kid about to fall on his ass. Instinctively, my hand shoots out and grabs him before he hits the floor. He flinches, his eyes glued to where my fist is tightly holding a wad of his striped shirt. Fuck. My bad, kid. I cringe, not wanting to scare him, and let go so he can find his footing. The boy doesn't speak. He just stares up at me with timid curiosity. I follow his gaze as it trails over the ink on my exposed arms. There's a hint of interest in his eyes now, his shoulders relaxing when his head tilts to the side. The corner of my mouth curls upward while I let him look his fill. You gotta watch where you're going, I warn. But it's met with silence as he blinks up at me. We stare at each other for a few moments, and for some reason he looks familiar. I mean, I don't make a habit of talking with people who can't fucking read yet, but I know I've seen those green eyes before. You lost, kid? He nods, and I sigh. I'm not in the mood to deal with this shit today. Can you talk? Yes. His voice is barely a whisper as he continues to study my face. All right, little man, let's find your mama. With my hand at the top of his back, I'm guiding him down the aisle toward the front of the store when I hear the name Caleb frantically called from a few yards away. I may not be the brightest fucker in the world, but I'm guessing that name belongs to the half-pint standing next to me. That your mom? His head bobs as he wears a mischievous grin. I can't tell if he's a hellion or just has a hint of troublemaker in him. I hope it's the latter for his mama's sake. Cupping one hand to the side of my mouth, I shout, "Cereal aisle!" Within seconds, a fraught woman comes darting around the corner, narrowly missing me with her shopping cart. Do these people have no sense of their surroundings? I'm about to give her what for, but then her gaze meets mine, and I freeze. A pair of sage green eyes with flecks of gold stare back at me. The same eyes as the kid's. Eyes and a face I'd recognize anywhere, because there's no way in fuck I could ever forget the only woman I've ever loved. Lily Carter is standing right in front of me, looking as beautiful as the day I let her go. Lil, what are you doing here? I can hear mild bewilderment in my tone. She sucks a sharp breath as her mouth slightly gapes open. She looks me over from head to toe, no doubt observing I'm packing 30 more pounds of solid muscle and that my arms are now covered in ink. My face isn't much different from when she saw me last, save for the beard I've been sporting for several years. James? She says incredulously, as though I'm a ghost standing in front of her. Fuck. It's been so long since I've heard my name uttered from her pouty mouth. The sweet sound of it sends a wave of pleasure straight to my cock, making it twitch. I stare at her, waiting for her to say more, ask me what I'm doing here, anything. But she doesn't. She just continues to gawk at me in disbelief. I grow more and more anxious by the second. Why isn't she saying anything? Is she mad? Did she miss me? Where the hell has she been? I want to know everything about Lily and the time we spent apart. And the first thing I want to know is, when the fuck did she have a kid? She slowly snaps out of her trance, rapidly blinking her eyes before they land on the pipsqueak beside me. Caleb grins up at her, then runs over to clutch her thigh.
What did I tell you about staying next to me at all times?
She chides.
That I'm not supposed to wander off?
He lowers his head in defeat.
And?
If I can't see Mommy, then Mommy can't see me.
Caleb's lower lip pokes out, and I pinch both of mine together to hide my amusement.
Exactly. You can't just run off on your own. It's not safe, baby.
Her tone is a mix of relief and anxiety rolled into one.
I'm sorry, Mommy.
I feel like I'm intruding on their conversation, as it seems they both have forgotten I'm still standing here. But I couldn't care less as I take a moment to drink in the sight of Lily. She's changed since I last saw her. Granted, we were both only 18 years old back then. Her body is filled out perfectly. Soft in all the right places, as a woman should be. She's wearing a well-worn pair of black jeans and an old Aerosmith t-shirt that's seen better days. But the fact remains that Lily Carter is still the most gorgeous woman I've ever met. She pushes back the few strands of honey-browned hair that have escaped her messy bun and glances over at me. Realizing that I'm watching her, she cowers into herself, wrapping her arms around her torso. Surely she's not feeling insecure, because she has absolutely nothing to be insecure about. She may be a mama now, but she's still hot as fuck. Lily clears her throat, reminding me that I'm ogling her. Then she tugs the boy to stand in front of her and smiles sweetly at me.
This is Caleb, my son.
Looking down at him, she says,
Caleb, this is James Black, Mommy's friend from high school.
They both return their gazes to me, and my mouth twitches. She knows damn fucking well we were more than just friends, though it's probably best not to get into the details with the kid. He looks to be about 6 or 7, and I don't want to make this weird for him. I offer Caleb a shake instead, slapping on my most docile expression. Nice to meet you, little man. My voice remains even and low, knowing I can look intimidating as fuck to strangers. The corner of Caleb's mouth turns down and takes my hand.
I'm sorry about running into you.
I ruffle his sandy brown hair. No problem, kid. Just be careful from now on, and stay with your mama. I'm sure you gave her quite a scare today. Lily is seemingly appreciative as her eyes roam across my face. She looks as though she wants to say more, but apparently thinks better of it and remains quiet. I haven't seen this woman in 10 years. I should say something. I need to say something, because I can't let her get away again. But the awkward silence stretches between us, neither of us taking the initiative. Something like hurt, or maybe disappointment, flashes behind Lily's eyes, and my heart clenches at the sight.
Well, it was nice bumping into you, James.
Her melancholy smile doesn't reach her eyes when she grips Caleb's hand and guides him along.
Maybe we'll see you around.
She takes the kid and pushes her cart around the corner, leaving me standing here dumbfounded. What the fuck just happened? Did I really see Lily? There's 100 million ways I pictured our reunion going, and that wasn't one of them. Seeing Lily again after all these years, I thought she would be happier, but that didn't seem to be the case. She was slightly tense and a touch uncomfortable, like she wasn't sure what to make of the situation, and I'm not sure why. I stroke my beard, briefly reminiscing about the girl I loved in high school. The girl who always wore a bright smile on her face. The kind of smile that could put anyone at ease. fucking radiant and tantalizing like a damn ray of sunshine. The woman who stood in front of me a few minutes ago didn't wear that kind of smile anymore. She's changed, as if the brilliant light that shone inside of her had been dimmed. And I don't fucking like it. Lily owes me nothing, but I need to know what's happened to her these past several years. Did I do this to her? Or was it someone else? Regardless, I've never forgotten all that I gave up back then. I had my reasons and thought I was doing what was best for her at the time, even though I was just some dumb kid who didn't know his ass from a hole in the wall. It was a mistake. I never should have let her go. But if she thinks she can waltz by me at the fucking grocery store with only a brief encounter, she's sadly fucking mistaken. I snap into action and hurry after her, glancing down the aisles and checkout lanes for any sign of her. But nothing. She's not here. My chest squeezes at the thought that I may have missed her, that I waited too late to make my move. Well, fuck that shit. I abandon my basket and sprint out of the store. Scanning the parking lot, I spot her down the middle of a lane, pushing her cart of groceries with Caleb in tow. Relief washes over me that I still have a chance. Lily! Wait! I shout as I jog toward her. Her head turns in my direction and tilts at the sight of me approaching her car.
James?
She blinks.
What are you...
Are you back? Are you here for good? I cut her off. Her brows furrow as she answers cautiously.
Yes?
I glance at her left hand, but ask to be sure. Are you married? A darkness clouds her expression, and she pauses as if she's reliving a bad memory.
No, I'm not married.
Seeing someone. She huffs loudly, struggling to avoid rolling her eyes at me.
Also, no, James. What is the...
Good. Then you're having dinner with me. We need to catch up. I'm being presumptuous as fuck, and she might want to tell me to take a flying leap, but there is no way in hell I'm leaving this parking lot without ensuring I see her again.
I can't just...
She bites her lower lip while considering her reasoning. My gaze darts to her mouth, and I feel my cock behind my zipper when I take notice of the movement. I glance at Caleb, looking back and forth between me and his mom, and clear my throat, locking down my lustful thoughts.
Why the fuck not, Lil?
I press for an answer. She gives me a stern glare, her eyes flicking to her son. I send her a silent apology, but wait for an answer. She shoves the cart to the side of the lane, moving us out of the way of passers-by.
Because I don't have a babysitter. I haven't been back in Carnage that long, and I'm still trying to figure things out. I need to get my bearings.
I quickly rack my brain, thinking of anyone who could watch Caleb tonight. Then, the best woman for the job comes to mind. Emma, Sentinel's old lady. He's our club's VP and a ruthless bastard. But he's had a much softer side since he met his woman and fell in love with her. I could ask them. Then I quickly realize that might not go over well with Sentinel, since he likes spending all his free time with Emma, without distractions. Or there's Throttle and Sienna. They have a lot more space after moving into their own house at the edge of the Disciples' property. And things have been calmer for them, too. Now that Sienna's former client is off the streets, Tony Bertelli had no regard for human life, and the fucker deserves every bit of what's coming to him in prison. Yeah, maybe Caleb would be better off with them than hanging around the clubhouse. Lily interrupts my thoughts.
I guess you could... You could come over for dinner at my place? If you don't mind eating with me and a 6-year-old little monster.
She smiles down at her son.
What do you think, sweetheart? Is it okay if Mommy's friend has dinner with us?
Feeling uncharacteristically nervous, I shift my weight between my feet. What am I, fucking 16? I chastise myself for acting like a pussy while I wait for her response. He looks up at me with those big green eyes.
Will you play trucks?
I can't help my smile. Sure thing, kid. His lips spread into a big grin.
Not so fast, boys. After dinner.
Lily forewarns. What are we having? I'm already salivating at the thought of a home-cooked meal, and with anticipation of tasting this woman again. Nothing and no one has ever come close to her sweetness. Lily beams at me with a sparkle in her eyes.
Lasagna.
My eyebrows lift. Your grandma's recipe? She smiles fondly, happy that I remember this small detail after so many years. How could I forget? The first time I tried Lily's lasagna was the day of my mother's funeral. She brought it over after the service, making sure that I ate, since I couldn't rely on my father to do it. She comforted me, holding my hand while I finished every morsel of food on my plate. Then we sat on my back porch, quiet and comfortable in each other's space. Her floral perfume delicately scented her neck and beckoned me to breathe her in every chance I got. She felt so good in my arms while she frequently kissed my cheek and lips. Soon, I couldn't hold back anymore and bolted for my bedroom, her hand caught in mine. Every fucking detail of that night is burned into my memory, as if she's embedded in my skin like one of my tattoos.
I've never found a recipe better than hers,
Lily declares proudly with a slight lift of her chin. Just tell me when and where. We exchange information, and she plugs her number and address into my phone. I call her so she can save mine to her contacts. Should I bring anything? I ask, remembering my manners while pocketing my cell.
How about dessert, if you want any? Oh, what kind of beer do you drink?
I'm not surprised a single mom might not keep beer in the house with a small one around. Don't worry about that. I'll grab some on the way. She nods in agreement. Her hands fidget nervously, and a pale blush colors her cheeks.
Okay, well, I'll see you tonight then.
I lean into her and whisper in her ear. You bet your sweet ass you will. Her blush darkens and she suppresses a smile. My hand itches to spank one of her round, juicy cheeks, but I refrain. We need to get reacquainted first, and we have a pair of curious 6-year-old eyes watching our every move. Be careful getting home. I'll see you soon. She walks away with Caleb following along beside her. I make my way across the parking lot to my bike, not giving two fucks that I didn't buy the cereal that I came here to get. I'm leaving with something better. I'm seeing Lily fucking Carter tonight, and every night after, if I have anything to say about it. Seeing her again has unleashed something inside me. Feelings I've buried so deep I forgot they were there. She's been away from carnage for years, but now that she's back, I'll do whatever it takes to keep her from leaving again.
Chapter 2. Lily. Unknown number. Watch your fucking back, you traitorous bitch, or you'll end up dead. I read the text a few times while I wait at the red light. The hairs on my neck stand on end as I look around at the other cars. This has to be a joke, or maybe the messenger sent this to me by mistake. But even if that's the case, something about it unnerves me. This is a full-on threat. Not a laughing matter, and it sends a shiver down my spine every time I read it. Who the hell would send something like this? To me? I shake my head. It must be a wrong number, and probably has nothing to do with me, so why be bothered by it? Besides, I have other things to worry about, like how James Black is coming to my house tonight for dinner. There was a time when I thought I was going to marry him someday. That we'd be together forever in a cute little house with a gaggle of cute little Jameses running around. But clearly, I was young and foolish, and all I have to show for our time together is a broken heart. a stupid, dopey, broken heart that still loves him, no matter how hard I've tried not to. God, why did I have to run into him at the grocery store, of all places, looking like this? I glance down at the shirt I'm wearing, my eyes zeroing in on the toothpaste stain right above my left breast. Glimpsing at myself in the rearview mirror, I'm mortified at my lack of makeup and the rat's nest on top of my head I'm trying to pass off as a bun. I cringe as I inwardly chastise myself for leaving the house looking every bit like a single mom in survivor mode. The sound of cars honking behind me startles me into focus. Dropping my phone in the cup holder, I step on the gas and catch up with traffic. As I drive through town, I'm surprised to find that not much of carnage has changed since I've been gone. Not drastically, anyway. There's still the creepy, run-down gas station that kids from school would dare each other to walk into, as well as Pete's Diner, famous for their coffee cake and apple pie. The movie theater has been remodeled, but the ice cream shop next door still looks the same. No, not much has changed at all, including the fact that I live here. When I left Carnage at 18, I had no intention of ever returning. I had big dreams and ambitions and couldn't imagine a reason to come back. Not after that last day, a day filled with strong emotions and heartache, the day my whole world turned upside down. Even now, when I think about it, I feel that familiar pain in my chest. I remember how I held on to him as I cried, my face buried in his shirt, soaking it with my tears. James held me tight, his body shaking just as much as mine. But I couldn't see his face. If he'd been crying, he never let it show. He had goals as well, which included becoming part of Satan's Disciples, the motorcycle club his friend Gabe belonged to, one of the most dangerous MCs in Nevada. I noticed his cut today, with the Disciples logo on the back. And don't think I missed the road captain rocker stitched on the front. Guess one of us achieved our dreams, making the day I left all the more bittersweet. Meanwhile, I never got to finish college. Money was hard to come by with my family, and eventually they couldn't help with my tuition anymore. There was some financial aid, but the cost of living was too high, and I ended up dropping out my senior year to get a job. It wasn't anything glamorous, just a small bartending gig in Reno with great tips. But every night, I'd come home to an empty efficiency apartment and hold my pillow tight, wishing it was James, while knowing it never would be. But is Carnage really where I'm meant to be? I ask myself that question often, fantasizing about what my life would be like if I stayed. We argued on that last day, instead of promising to stay together, even with the distance. James's reason for our breakup was solely rooted in fear. Fear that he would end up hurting me and becoming like his father. He was afraid that he couldn't give me the life I deserved. But the one I deserved included him in it. He took my choice away without giving me a say in the matter. So I became angry with him. Angry that he wouldn't listen, that he wouldn't try. Angry that he'd throw it all away, throw us away, because he was scared. Sad that he wouldn't fight. He wouldn't fight for me. Thinking about it now, I better understand the apprehension that weighed on his shoulders. He witnessed the abuse his father inflicted on his mother when he was a child, until he was old enough for that vile man to start picking on him, too. I remember the bruises he'd tried to hide, whenever his dad had too much to drink, and James got between his parents, taking the hits in place of his mother. When she died from an unexpected heart attack, I begged him to come away with me, but I see now why he couldn't. He finally had a chance to get away from it all, but he believed it was too late for him, that he was tainted by his last name. He let that despicable man's words sink into his head, filling him with doubt and insecurity. He may have doubted himself, but I never did. I always knew James wouldn't hurt me. He simply loved me too much as I loved him. It wasn't enough, though. He ended things, and I walked away, my heart crushed into a million pieces. But now, I'm back here,
and it seems we have a chance to finally make the past right. I have to admit, time looks good on James. He didn't have nearly as many tattoos back then, and certainly not that body. I saw the way women gawked at him in the parking lot, and I don't blame them one bit. The man is gorgeous. He definitely looks as though he does physical labor for a living, keeping his physique hard and in shape. With all that ink combined with those muscles, he looks deadly and captivating at the same time. And so damn sexy. I could barely keep my eyes off him, and I might have even drooled a little bit. And now I'm going to see him again tonight. My face grows hot at the thought as I pull into the driveway of my house. When I found this place for sale, I immediately called to tour the property. It has a Spanish kind of feel, with a sandy limestone exterior and a terracotta tiled roof. There's a spacious garage, 3 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms, and spectacular natural lighting. It felt like home the moment I stepped through the front door. And what a steal! The previous owner was an older woman who recently passed away, and her son, a surgeon in Florida, was eager to get rid of the property since he lived so far. The price was perfect for my budget, and the right size for me and Caleb. I can see myself growing old in this house, but hopefully not growing old alone. Once I pull into the garage, my little monster climbs out with lightning speed. "Help Mommy with the groceries, please," I call out, stopping him in his tracks. He grabs one item from the trunk and heads inside, his arms barely able to fit around the large pack of paper towels. I follow after him, carrying the rest of the groceries and setting them down on the kitchen counter. Caleb quickly retreats to his room, likely dumping out the toys I rounded up this morning. He'll be cleaning those up himself this time, not Mommy. After putting everything away, but leaving out what I need for dinner, I wash my hands at the sink and get started. James will be here around 7, which means I only have a few hours to cook, clean, and get dressed. Shit, I'm already overwhelmed thinking about the love of my life coming over. We haven't seen each other in ages, and I have no idea what we'll talk about. What's he been doing all these years? Did he miss me? Did he think about me? I like to believe that he did. God knows I certainly thought about him. Maybe I crossed his mind whenever he drove past the high school or my old house. Or maybe he saw someone eating a pink frosted donut and they reminded him of the time we bought a dozen and ate every single one, making ourselves sick. A smile spreads across my face at the memory. We may have been young, but we were so in love. The kind of love where everything was intense and you couldn't help but be consumed by each other. Every look, every touch left a mark, and we wanted to make it permanent, make it forever. But sadly, that wasn't in the cards for us. I can understand why James would want to catch up now. We have history, a good one, but I don't expect anything else other than pleasant conversation with enjoyable company and a kiss on the cheek goodnight. I mean, I'm not the same person I was back then, and I definitely don't look like her either. After having a child, not every woman's body shifts back into place. I know mine didn't. I was a thick girl to begin with, and I've put on some weight over the years, filling out in my hips and thighs. We won't even talk about the mommy pooch and giant breasts that sag down to the waistband of my leggings. Okay, that's an exaggeration, but it's how I feel when I look at myself in the mirror. I wonder what James was thinking when he saw me today. His eyes were so focused on me that my skin grew hot beneath his unwavering stare. Even now, just remembering his powerful gaze makes my temperature rise a degree or two. God, how will I survive dinner tonight, sitting next to this man? Caleb barges into the kitchen, disrupting my thoughts as he bites the inside of his cheek. I bend down to meet his eyes. What is it, sweetie? Is that man really coming to dinner? James? I cock my head. Yeah, he's coming. Why, what's wrong? I'm curious where this concern is coming from. Is he a nice man? He looks scary. Caleb is so innocent with those big green eyes. My sweet boy.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?